Okay, once again, it's a tremendous chus for our community to welcome Rosh Shiva, Rosh Kolal, to welcome Rav Schechter. I say every year when we have the enormous privilege to host him that he works tirelessly giving shiurim almost back to back. This year the schools are off, mostly today, yesterday, so it's a little less, not going around visiting all the schools. But it's an amazing testament to Rebbe's love, not only of learning Torah, but teaching Torah, that when we give a schedule, if there's any downtime, he wants to know why there's no opportunity to teach. And that's a great reflection of the chiba, of the love, the affection of a type of learning, which is not only a selfish learning, but it's a learning of chesed. It's a lul maramanas lalamed, to teach, and lasos, to teach others how to live, which itself is a tremendous example to us. So once again, from the bottom of our hearts, we offer a tremendous hakar satov, a debt of gratitude. Rebbe spoke last night about Thanksgiving. And among the many things that we're grateful for are the shurim each and every year that Rebbe visits. Without any further ado, please rise. Join me in welcoming Rav Schechter.
In this week's Sedra, we read that Yitzchak followed all the traditions from his father. Avraham Avinu was a pioneer. He came up with original ideas. He discovered this concept of monotheism and other things. So Yitzchak follows everything. The Pasuk says that he dug the exact same wells that his father dug, which were stopped up by the Plishtim. They threw in Ophir. They ruined the wells. And he gave it the exact same names. Everything, the same traditions that he got from Avraham Avinu. And then it says, when there was a famine, Vahiro Ba'aretz, Melvad Harov Harishan Hashel Hayob Bimei Avraham. In the days of Avraham Avinu, there was a famine, so Avraham Avinu went down to Egypt. So Yitzchak does everything exactly the same as his father. He's prepared to go down to Egypt on his way, going from Hebron, probably, to Egypt. He stops off in Hevel Aza, the Gaza Strip, what we call today. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him and he says, "Al Tered Mitzrayim, you're not allowed to leave." But he wants to follow in tradition from his father. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, that's not the tradition from your father. Your father was not a Korban Oilo. You were sanctified as a Korban Oilo. The story about the Akedah is not that Avraham Avinu misunderstood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Halei Hashem L'Oilo, be Magdish your son as a Korban Oilo. So Avraham Avinu understood on his own, normally, when you have a Korban Oilo, you're supposed to shecht it and burn it and makrib it on the Mizbeach. So that was, the Malach told him, this is a different kind of a Korban Oilo. But Yitzchak was sanctified as a Korban Oilo. When you have a Korban, if you take it outside of its Mokum, it becomes Nifsal B'yot, it becomes Pasal. If you have Kochi Kochim, and the Mokum is the Azor. If you have Kochim Kalim, and the Mokum is the whole Yerushalayim. So here, the Mokum of HaKrobas Korbanus is Eretz Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yitzchak, if you'll be going down to Egypt, you will not be following the footsteps of your father. That's not the tradition. Your father was not a Korban, you were a Korban, you're not allowed to leave. Gur Baratz Azos Ve'ayeh Imcho. He had to stay there. So the Pasuk says that he planted there. How do you translate Me'er Sho'arim? Sho'arim. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Most of the Rashi's on Chumash are quoting either Tanoim or Amaroim, Midrashim. When Rashi talks about Diktuk, that's on his own. That he didn't get from the Tanoim and Amaroim. That he got from the Medaktikim, from the Diktuk books. But most of the Rashi is on Chumash, and not Rashi. It's really quoting Gemaris and Midrashim. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, the word She'arim comes from the word Lisha'er, to estimate. Yitzchak Avinu was making an estimation based on how much he planted in Hevel Aza at that time, in Gror, how much will grow, and how much Maiser will he be Mafrish. Yitzchak was Mafrish Maises. And it turned out that it was 100 times more. Me'er She'arim is 100 times more than what he calculated he thought would grow. So this Medrash, that Yitzchak was Mafrish Maises, is quoted by the Rambam in the end of Hilchas Malachim. The Rambam writes the history, the development of the Taryag Mitzvahs. We have 613 Mitzvahs. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam HaRishon 6 Mitzvahs. He didn't give him the din of Eiv Menachai because he had to be a vegetarian, so he couldn't eat flesh at all. After the Mabul, Noach was permitted to eat meat, Ki Era Kesem Nesati Lechem is called, like in the days of Adam HaRishon, they were allowed to eat fruits and vegetables. So after the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu permits Noach and his descendants to eat meat. So then he had to give the din of Eiv Menachai. You can eat meat, but you can't have Eiv Menachai. So the Rama writes, originally there were six mitzvahs. Then after the Mabul, it became seven mitzvahs. That's why we call it seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, because before the days of Noach, there were only six, there weren't seven. Then this is the way the world was going to the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was given an additional mitzvah, bris milo. Yitzchak was given, he wasn't obligated to be mafrish maiser, he was given an opportunity to be mafrish maiser. Rama doesn't say he was neschaiva maiser, Yitzchak hifrish maiser. And Yaakov Avinu was commanded, he was instructed not to eat the Gid Anoshe. When you study Perek Gid Anoshe, Gid Anoshe is a certain part of the animal that you have to cut out, you're not allowed to eat. So when you read the Mishnayos in Perek Gid Anoshe, it's a Perek in a whole chapter in Gemara Chulin, you get the impression, that's how Rashi and Tosis understand, you get the impression that there's a Machlokes HaTanaim. When was the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe given? Was it given to Yaakov Avinu when the Malach broke his leg? That's when the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe was given. That's where it's written in Chumash in Parshas Vayishlach. Or should be assumed, no, the Chumash writes it there that you should know what the historical background is all about to not understand what's the reason. What's the Tama mitzvah Gid Anoshe? But the mitzvah Gid Anoshe wasn't really given until after Maimed Hasina. So that's the simple reading on the Mishnah in Chulin. Was it given in the days of Yaakov Avinu or later? The Rambam in his commentary on the Mishnayos says that's not the machlokes. The Medrash Rabbah says everybody agrees. Each one of the others was given a mitzvah. Avraham Avinu was commanded in Bris Milah, Yitzchak Hifrish Maisus, and Yaakov Avinu was commanded in Gid Anoshe. Everybody agrees to that. The dispute in the Mishnah is, why is it that today we still observe the din of Gid Anoshe? Is it because Yaakov Avinu was given a nevuah and it's binding L'dorus? Or no, we don't accept that opinion. Today the Rambam says we observe Bris Milah not because it was given to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was a Navi. A Navi is given a nevuah. Nevuah by definition means Hayruah Shor. Only a temporary thing. A generation or two, a few generations. The only Navi who is given dinim that are binding L'dorus is Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why the Rambam lists off the 13 Ikori HaAmunah. So he lists off two ikorim with respect to prophecy. He said, first of all, we believe in the institution of prophecy. It is possible for God to communicate to man. There is such a thing as prophecy. Philosophers can philosophize from today till next year, but the mitzvah is that there was prophecy, there will be prophecy in the future. Philosophers think, how can the infinite God communicate with the finite human being? It's impossible. But we believe that prophecy is possible. Included, Rav Soloveitchik explained, included in the Iker that we believe in Nevuah is the Iker of Tefillah. Just like God can communicate to man can communicate to God. We talk to God when we daven, just like He can talk to us. And we can be Mekabel Nevuah, so it's possible for man to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. So there's one Iker of Nevuah. Then the Rambam has another Iker that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevim. He's the greatest Nevi. So what does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu gets an A+, and Yeshaya gets an A. And Yirmiyah gets an A-, and Yechezkel gets a B+. Well, he's grading the Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu gets an A+, what's a big deal? Sounds a little childish. The children argue with each other. My father is smarter than your father. My father is fatter than your father. My father is smarter than your father. What are you saying? Moshe Rabbeinu gets an A+, what's the significance of saying Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon HaNevi'im? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, not just he gets an A+. What it means is Moshe Rabbeinu is the only Navi who was given dinim that are binding l'doros. The other Navim were given only Hayruah Shor. So what the Rambam lists later as a separate Iker, Shazos HaTorah L'Asim Mechlefes, V'Lis Yitorah Acheres Meis HaBori Yis Baruch Shmoi, that the laws of the Torah are immutable, they're binding throughout all the generations, that's really based on this Iker. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNavim, he was the only one who was given Torah. The other Navim were given Nevuah. So the Rambam says that's the pshat in the Mishnah. The Machlokes HaTanoim was not whether Gid Anoshe was given to Yaakov Avinu, it wasn't given to Maimon HaSina. No, it was certainly given to Yaakov Avinu. Each one of the others was given another mitzvah. Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of Milo. And Yitzchak Avinu Hifrish Maisus, he was given the opportunity to be Mafrish Maisus. Yaakov Avinu was given the additional mitzvah of Gid Anoshe. The Machlokes HaTanoim is, why are we today still obligated to observe the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe? So the accepted psak is not because it was given to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was a Navi. A Navi only, by definition, only gets Hayruah Shor. Nevuah means Hayruah Shor. We today are still bound to observe the din of Gid Anoshe because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. And the fact that we still observe Bris Milah today is also because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu and Parshas Tazriel, V'yom HaShmini Yimel B'sara Olosa. So Rav Soloveitchik discussed this Medrash Rabbah that the Rambam quotes. Then the Rambam says, this is the way the development of the 613 mitzvahs. Or the Marishim was given six, Nerech was given number seven. Then Avraham Avinu was given one, Yitzchak one, Yaakov one. The world was going on like this till the middle of Golis Mitzrayim. Middle of Golis Mitzrayim, the Rambam says Moshe Rabbeinu's father, Amram, was given additional mitzvahs. We don't know where the Rambam got it from. It must be a medrash. He didn't make it up on his own. Somewhere it says that Amram was given a couple of mitzvahs. We don't know where. Then Moshe Rabbeinu was given the dinim about Korban Pesach, Kolor Aliyachabai. Then before Maimon HaSinai, they were given the dinim of Shabbos when the man was falling down. So the Baruch Hashem gave them the din of Shabbos before Maimon HaSinai. Then in Maimon HaSinai, they were given the rest of the mitzvah. Then some of the mitzvahs were given after Maimon HaSinai. The laws, the details of the laws of Yerusha and Pesach Sheni, some of the din were given afterwards. So then everything adds up to 613 mitzvahs. So what is the significance of this idea that the Medrash mentions and that the Rambam quotes, that Avraham Avinu was given one mitzvah, Yitzchak was given one mitzvah, Yaakov Avinu was given one mitzvah. So Soloveitchik thought perhaps what it means is the following. There is a classical discussion. The Mishlan Melech is one of the commentaries on the Rambam. So he wrote a sefer on Hashkofe, on Agode, that's called Parashas Drachim. And the sefer Parashas Drachim, he has a whole essay. The first essay in the sefer is the most famous one, about whether Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, were they considered Jewish or not. The Jewish people began at HaSinai, because that's, Maimon HaSinai was the Geirus of the Jewish people. Before they ate Korban Pesach, before Yetzias Mitzrayim, all the men had to have a bris milah. And then before Maimon HaSinai, everybody had to go to mikveh. And the Chumash, you get the mistake and impression that only the married people had to go to mikveh because of Balkari and Palet and Sheikh Nazera. But the Gemara explains that everybody, even the single people, everybody had to go to mikveh. And everybody said Nasav and Ishmael, and they brought karbonos. So that's the din. How does a ger convert? You have to have kabbalas on mitzvahs, you have to say Nasav and Ishmael. Then you have to have milah. If it's a man, you have to have tefillah and a mikveh. You have to bring a karbon. The ger hamizgayer, this bancha, b'samigdashayikayim, they had to bring a karbon. All the laws of gerus, how to convert a non-Jew, I learned that from Maimon HaSinai. So that's why the Balei HaTosfos seem to hold that the Kedushas Yisrael only began after Maimon HaSinai, after the Geirus. And the Ramban, in his commentary on Chumash, and Ramban on the Gemara and Bava Basra, disagrees with it. He says, no, Avraham Avinu was Jewish. So this is a Machloikas Tosfos and Ramban. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, like a compromise opinion, a few Achreinim hold this compromise opinion between Tosfos and the Ramban, that the whole idea of Kedushas Yisrael is Kedushana b'mitzvah Yisrael b'tzivonu. There's no such thing as abstract Kedusha. In modern Hebrew, they call it Kedusha artilais, abstract Kedusha. Kedusha means yimuchuivim more mitzvahs. You take a look, there's a Mishnah in Maseches Kelim. The Mishnah says, Esa Kedusha Seim, the 10 levels of Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. So it starts off, Eretz Yisrael mekudeshes mikol ha'rotzois, shemivim emenu ha'imer eshtei alechem. Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha, you can only bring ha'imer eshtei alechem if it grew in Eretz Yisrael. Ayor Samakaf is Chaiman Eretz Yisrael have a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. It tells you the din, that a Mitzor is not allowed to enter. Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of the Yaros HaMakov Yisrael, gives you an afkamin on the Dina. Then it says the Harabais has a higher level of Kedusha. Then with the Rabbanon, the three different sections, the Harabais. Then you have the Azara, then you have the Ezra Snoshim, the Ezra Yisrael, then you have the Hechel, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Every step of the way, the Esek Kedusha, it gives you an afkamin on the Dina. Because no such thing as Kedusha that doesn't have an afkamin al Allah. So that's what we say, a bracha, shekedushana b'mitzvah yisrael v'tzivonu. Kedusha yisrael means that we are mechuyev to observe mitzvahs. And even though the women are exempt from tzitzis and tefillin, and the mitzvah says it shaz magrama, but the Ashkenazim follow that opinion of the Tosfos that if a woman volunteers to shake a lulav, a woman volunteers to sit in sukkah, she does say a bracha, because it's true, she has the same kedusha as the men. She can say Kedushana b'mitzvah yisrael v'tzivonu, even though they're exempt, if they don't want to, they don't have to. But they do have the full Kedusha, like the men. So that's Kedushana b'mitzvah yisrael v'tzivonu. So if you're talking about Kedusha Yisrael, so the Rambam is quoting this Medrash, Avraham Avinu had one level of Kedusha Yisrael, because he's only obligated to observe one additional mitzvah over and above the Shevi Mitzvahs Menach, and he was given the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Yitzchak Avinu was given the opportunity, Yitzchak Hifrish Maisus. He had a deeper degree of Kedusha Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu was given an additional, a third additional mitzvah. Gid Anasha, he had a deeper degree of Kedusha Yisrael. So Leitchik thought that's probably what it means in the Psukim and Chumash with Zachata is Bisi Yaakov, After his bisi Yitzchak, after his bisi Avraham Eskar, Behoretz Eskar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Avraham, and now that he repeated the bris with Yitzchak, he repeated the bris with Yankov. Why did he have to make another bris with Yitzchak and another bris with Yankov? He made a bris. Baruch Hashem didn't make a bris with us, with our parents, our grandparents. We were included in the bris that was made with the other. So why did he have to make a bris with Yitzchak and another bris with Yankov? He made a bris, he made a covenant with Avraham Avinu. All of Avraham Avinu is the children are Jewish. The answer is no. Each one, the Krisa's bris means he gave Avraham Avinu a Kedushas Yisrael to one level, because Avraham Avinu only had one additional mitzvah, bris milah. Then he had to make another bris to enhance the Kedushas Yisrael of Yitzchak. He had a deeper degree of Kedushas because he had two mitzvahs. Then he had to make a third bris, but the Yankov Avinu, he had a third mitzvah. He had Gid Amnashah. Whenever there was an additional mitzvah, so the Kedushas Yisrael is stronger, because that's the definition of Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushana b'mitzvah Yisav, v'itzivanu. Then Har Sinai, when the Rebbe Shalom gave all the Taryag mitzvah, so then the Kedushas Yisrael was complete. Very interesting. You read the Chumash. Sarah was an Akara. She didn't have any children until the age of 100. So how old? 90 years old. And then Rivka is an Akara. Then Rachel is an Akara. Then the Gemara adds on, they had a tradition, the Tanoim had a tradition, Avraham Yisrael Yankov were also Akara. So what is this all about? All the six, the only one who was able to have children with Erech HaTeva was Leah. She didn't have any problems. The others had problems having children. So the Gemara has a very strange comment. Why were the Ovis and the Emoras all Akorim? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mesaveh L'Tfilosim Shel Tzadikim. The Baruch Shalom appreciates when Tzadikim daven. Mesaveh, you have a taiva. Some people have a desire for men, have a desire for women. People have a desire for covet. People have a desire for money. People have a desire for fasting foods. Delicious foods. The Baruch Shalom also has a desire. What kind of a desire is that? Misavela tefilosim shel tzadikim. Usually you have a desire means that you're missing something. I enjoy sweets, so I like candies, I like chocolates, I like ice cream or whatever. I like a good looking woman, I like a lot of money, I like a lot of covet. You're missing something. The Baruch Shalom is missing something. We don't know what that means. The Baruch Shalom is not missing anything. Misavela tefilosim shel tzadikim, we don't exactly understand what it means. But there's an inyan. We have the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis. V'chol siach asodah terem yeh ba'oretz. V'chol esav asodah terem yitzmah ki lohim ter Hashem alikim ala oretz. Lo demayin la'avodah so adoma. So the simple reading of the pasuk is that the grass and the shrubbery, nothing was growing because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't bring any rain. If there's no rain, nothing is going to grow. V'chol demayin la'avodah so adoma. He hadn't yet created Adam Rishon. Once he creates Adam Rishon, there's somebody there to till the ground, to work. There were no human beings, so Baruch Hashem didn't bring any rain. That's the Pasha Pshat, the Pasha. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash a whole additional level of interpretation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way, word for word, letter for letter. He dictated the Chumash in such a way that there was the obvious meaning in the Pasuk. Then he intended additional levels of interpretation. There are books written by non-Jewish authors, not religious books, secular books, but the author tells you he had three kavanas. He had the pshuto, the simple reading, and he had two hidden kavanas. So the Chumash was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way. The Gemara has shivim panim latar. There can be 70 different levels of understanding on any given pasuk. The pshuto shel mikra is always true, and a mikra yetzim de pshuto. But the additional levels of interpretation are also true. There were those who misunderstood. They thought ein. A mikra yetzibidei pshuta means only pshuta shal mikra is true. That's so the Ramban writes, that's not what it says in the Gemara. Aim by mikra ela pshuta. That's not what it says in the Gemara. And from the context of the Gemara, you see it's not so. The Gemara says there was an Amora who learned in yeshiva for 16 years. And one day the Rebbe said a din, and the Talmud asked, but I never heard of that din before. So the Rebbe said, no, that's what it says in the Chumash. Ein ha-mikra yetzibidei pshuta. All the 16 years that he learned in the yeshiva, he knew all the drushes of the Torah Shema Peh, the additional levels of interpretation. And he thought that we ignored the simple reading of the pasuk. After 16 years, the Rebbe tells him, no, the Pshuta Shal Mikra is also true. That's what it means. Pshuta Shal Mikra is also true. But the drushes, the additional levels of interpretation, are certainly true. So on that pasuk, Chol Siach Hasadeh, Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes the Medrash. Siach usually means a bush, shrubbery. So the Medrash has an additional level of interpretation based on the pasuk. Tfilu lo'ani ki'atav lifnei Hashem yishpach sicho, ein sicha ela tfilu. So the pasuk, the additional level of interpretation means Chol Siach Hasadeh, teram yeh ba'aretz, nobody was praying for the rain. Kilohim ter Hashem Arbarshalom didn't bring any rain. Odamayin la'avoyde, so Adama means avoyde shebelev. God had not yet created Adam Arishon. After we created Adam Arishon, Adam understood that there's a need for rain in order that vegetation should grow. And then he would offer a tefillah. The Arbarshalom is not going to bring the rain until people pray for the rain. Why did he do that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu misabel et tefillosim shel bnei Adam. We don't understand. What does that mean? Why does he want us to daven? We don't understand. Usually when a human being has a type, it means that he's lacking something. What the Rebbe Shalom needs, the flattery. He wants us to ask him for the rain. We don't understand it. The Chazal didn't have any word for this. So they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaveh l'tfilos m'shal. They use the same word as for a human being, taiva, but it certainly doesn't have the same connotation. So that's what the Gemara says. How come the Ovis and Nimah, how come they were all akorim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaveh l'tfilos m'shal tzadik. We don't understand what it means. But apparently tefillah is something the Rebbe Shalom created the world having in mind, melechatchila, he wants people to daven. The philosophers from the Middle Ages raised an issue, what is tefillah all about? If I deserve the parnasa, so the Rebbe Shalom should give me the parnasa, even if I don't ask for it. And if I don't deserve it, he shouldn't give it to me, even if I do ask. So what is it? Should be neither here nor there. Well, why is there a need for tefillah? So some of the philosophers from the Middle Ages, the days of the Rishonim, they say a lot of people are borderline. They don't exactly deserve. So if a person humbles himself, he acts with humility, and he prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then he moves over. He's no longer borderline. Now he deserves it a little more than before. So one of the great Gedolim, the author of the Nesivos, writes, he doesn't think that that's correct. He doesn't think that tefillah is only for the borderline. He said, even if the person is a tzadik gomer, even if he deserves it, that's why the Rebbe Shalom created the world. He wants people to daven. He wants tzadikim to daven. That's why he created. We don't understand it, but that's the way it is. So this is very interesting. B'derech HaTeva, none of us should exist. Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov and Sarah Rivka and Rachel, all six were akorim. None of us. There shouldn't be any Jewish nation. The existence of the Jewish nation is all a ma'ala min ha'teva. They were davening. Avraham Avinu was davening, and Yitzchak is davening, and Rivka is davening, and Yaakov Avinu is davening. Everybody's davening. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants them to daven to have children. This is what we say. The Gemara has a big, it's not one line in the Gemara, it's a whole blot, the whole Amar Aleph, the whole blot in the Gemara, a whole sugya, so to speak. Ein mazali Yisrael. That's the whole Gemara in the end of Masechah Shabbos. The people who don't read the Gemara don't think incorrectly. They think that Jewish people don't have good luck. That's not what it means in the Gemara. The Ramban in his commentary on Chumash explains. He thinks that this Gemara is one of the Ikari Ha'amuna. The Rambam has 13 Ikari Ha'amuna. The Ramban has different. So the Ramban thinks this is one of the Ikari Ha'amuna that we believe that not only the coming into existence of the Jewish people is Lamayla Manateva, because all the obviously Mo'ez, they were all Akorim. So they shouldn't, but derech hateva, they shouldn't have had any children at all. Not only is the existence of the Jewish coming into existence in l'malam en hateva, but the korech hatfilo, the continued hanhoga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Jewish people. Jewish history is always l'malam en hateva. And that's what it means in the Gemara, ein mazal Yisrael. If when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in Sheish Yismei Bereishis, so he instituted principles of physics and chemistry and biology and mathematics, and everything goes. Chok nasam al yaber. Baruch Shalom made chuki ateva. when he created the world in Shesh Yismei Bereishis, in addition to the physics and chemistry and biology, he instituted rules and regulations of history. And if a person knows how to size up the situation well, he'll be able to predict the future. Just like you can predict an eclipse, and if you mix two chemicals, you can predict it's going to explode, it's not going to explode, it's going to change colors. If you know chemistry, you know what the result is going to be. So if a person understands history well, he can predict the future. That's called looking into the kochavim and mazolus and being able to predict the future. I remember when I was a student in high school in TA, so there was a required reading that was an essay written by some diplomat, I think, or someone in the American army, predicting that the Japanese will attack the Americans on a Sunday morning in December, and he tells you how many years it's going to take. He sized up the whole situation, and he says they'll be fed up. It was after the First World War. He said they'll be fed up with the Americans, and that's what happened. They attacked on a Sunday morning, and he explains why it's going to happen, because at that time, there was no radar, so they wanted to make a surprise attack. So in December, the nights are the longest. So, and Sunday morning, the American soldiers always have a late Malava Malka. They stay up late, and they sleep late on Sunday morning. So the best time to have a surprise attack is a Sunday morning in December. It makes the whole Cheshbon. Then he tells you how many years it's going to take, and that's what happened. And the Japanese attacked the Pearl Harbor on the Sunday morning in December, not because they read his essay. No, because he predicted history well. If you understand history, if you know the Chukei HaTeva, just like you can predict an eclipse and you can predict a chemical reaction if you mix two chemicals and so on, physics and mathematics, it's predictable. History is also predictable, except for Jewish history. Jewish history is Ma'ilam and HaTeva. That's called Ein Mazal Yisrael. You can't look in the Kochavim Mazolus and predict what's going to be. So the Ramban writes in his commentary on Chumash, does this make sense? That if the Jewish people observe the mitzvahs, the rain will come. And if we don't rain, we don't observe the mitzvahs, it doesn't make any sense. Does it make sense that if we violate the laws of Shemitah, we lose the land? If you observe the laws of Shemitah, you maintain the land. But it doesn't make any sense. He says, all of Jewish history is l'mayla men ha-teva. I remember my father, Zechon Lebrach, had a book in his library. I don't have it. My nephew has all this for him. He had a book in English that was called Stranger Than Fiction. It was a book on Jewish history. Jewish history is taka stranger than fiction. No one would have ever guessed wild things in Jewish history. Jewish history is so wild. Jewish history is l'malam en atev. That's in fact why the opening Mishnah Maseches Rosh Hashanah says, years ago, when they would write a document with a date, so they would write, I think in some American documents, they still have it, rare. They write how many years it is since Hakamas HaMedina. Right? How many years it is since George Washington founded the United States. I think they still have some kind. I think in naturalization papers, maybe they have that. How many years is it since Hakamas HaMedina? So the Mishnah says in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, if it's a Goyish government, then if you have a new king was just appointed a week before Rosh Hashanah, Echad B'Tishrei, a week before Rosh Hashanah, so after Rosh Hashanah, you write, Shana Shniya L'Melech Plan, it's the second year of his ruling. He was only a king for 1 year. You don't write every king whenever he was appointed king, whenever his coronation took place. You have to remember every king when he was appointed. When it comes to Echad B'Tishrei, that's Rosh Hashanah L'Malchei U'Mesoylem. As far as Jewish history is concerned, it depends on Echad B'Nissen. And Ran explains... They ran on the riff on that Mishnah, the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, explains, it's not just that this was the practice, this was the minig. He said, this is a real din, because it says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh, Nisan is the beginning of the year for Jewish history, and Tishrei is the beginning of the year for world history. Why a discrepancy? So then it's even his commentary on Chumash, and Parshas Bo, on that Pasuk, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, he says, because all of world history is with the Chukei HaTeva. It goes with the Chukei HaTeva. So all the Chukei HaTeva were instituted. Shesh Yismei Bereishis. We celebrate the creation of the world and the institution of all the principles of physics, chemistry, biology, mathematics, and history. Echad B'Tishrei. Hayom Harasalam. Today is the birthday of the world. So when it comes to Echad B'Tishrei, it's a new year for world history. So that's why Malchei U'Mesoylem is Echad B'Tishrei is the beginning of the year. But as far as Jewish history is l'mayla men ha-teva, And that's the month of Nisan. B'nisan nigalu, b'nisan asirim legal. Nisan is the month of Nisim. Nisan is the month of Hanhoga l'mayla min ha-teva. So Jewish history is always l'mayla min ha-teva. So that's what the Ramban writes in his commentary. He thinks that this idea that appears in the Gemara, that Ein Mazal Yisrael, he considers that one of the Ikari Hamunah. Whoever doesn't believe that Jewish history is l'mayla min ha-teva, does not know what our religion is all about. So it's interesting, that's what the Maharal Prague writes. Why did the Rabban Shalom, what is Rabban Shalom driving at over here? That Klal Yisrael comes from Avram Yitzchak Yaakov and Sarah Rivka and Rochel, the only one who was able to have children was Leah. All the others were Akarim and Akaris. They bring out this point that all of Jewish history is Lamaila Menatev. Not only the coming, the emergence of the Jewish people, the fact that we came into existence, the continued development of Jewish history is always Lamaila Menatev. At the end of the parsha, we read the way Esav heard that the father Yitzchak encouraged Yaakov that he should go to Padan Aram and find a shidduch from the family. So he does shtick. So he decides, okay, the father wants him to marry from the family. So he marries the daughter of Yishmael, Atzushtal. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, he had previously been married to two witches. Now he marries a third witch. None of them were good. The role of the Avodah Zarah is if he's doing what the father would have wanted him to do. Father didn't want him to marry a daughter of Yishma. So that's one version. The name of the girl that he marries, there are two traditions where they pronounce it Mochalas or Machalas, whether the mem has a patach or a kometz. The Mefarshim HaChomish have two different versions. So the Maharil Diskin explains that if the pronunciation is, well, this can have, I think he has a suggestion, it's in Maftir. So he says, when the Balkari lanes Shvi, he should lane one way. When he lanes Maftir, he should say the other way. He should say one time Mochlas and one time Machlas. Two versions how to pronounce the name. So the two versions how to pronounce the name represent two different ideas. If you pronounce it Machalas, so it sounds like Machala, a sickness, another witch. So that's where Rashi quotes one Medrash. Al Nashav Lo Lisha. He married Machalas Nocha Machla, Hosef Risha Al Rishosa. He had previously been married to a couple of girls that were witches. They were of the Avodah Zarah. Now he married a third girl who's a Marshas, Hosef Risha Al Rishosa. And according to the other pronunciation, according to the other tradition, that the correct pronunciation should be Mochalas, so that's Milosh and Mechila. So that's a famous passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi that when a couple gets married, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives their sins. So one of the people that gets Mechilas Avinas is the Chosin Kala the day that they get married. What is that all about? Why should they get Mechilas Avinas? So first you have to understand what that means. So the Gemara has a Machloikas Hatanoim where the Yom Kippur is Mechaper if the person didn't do tshuva. It's a little funny Machloikas. It's up to the rabbis to decide. The Bezen Shalmaila will decide whether Yom Kippur is Mechaper. What are the rabbis having machlokes? You have to learn the Mishnais and the end of Krisis. It's not kemina alocha l'maisa for us for Oshem Tolle. If Yom Kippur was mechaper, then you don't have to bring an Oshem Tolle afterwards. So what if the person didn't do tshuva on Yom Kippur? So if Yom Kippur is mechaper, he doesn't bring the Oshem Tolle. If Yom Kippur is not mechaper because he didn't do tshuva, then he still has to bring the Oshem Tolle. So it's machlokes. The Bezen Shalmata has to paskan on that. So how do you paskan on that? Whether Yom Kippur is mechaper, flo yosa tshuva. So it's a machlekes out of Pascha. So many Geonim took the position, Yom Kippur is mechaper, even if lo yasu tshuva. But famous is the Rambam. Rambam writes in Perek Aleph in Hilchas Tshuva, there's never any mechila without tshuva. And the Rambam gives you a whole background. He says, when the haruge bezin, when someone did an avera for which he, because it was good to Meisim Tum, he deserves the death penalty. So the Mishnah says, the bezin encourages him, say vidui, because if you don't savidi, you don't do tshuva, the misa is not going to be mechaper. So the Rambam says, misa's bezin is only mechaper if you do tshuva. Then the Rambam says, when you give your malchus, so it says, v'nikol achicha la'inecha, kimish aloka, harayuki achicha, after he gets malchus, he's koshal edus, he's no longer a rasha, only if he does tshuva. So we tell him, do tshuva before we're about to give you the malchus. When a person dies on his deathbed, from old age, from sickness, the person should say vidui. You should always say, his father Yamechel Lefnei B'Yisoscha, Shuv Yamechel Lefnei B'Yisoscha. So the Misa should be Mechaper. Then the Rambam says, when a person brings a carbon, so the carbon is machapa, chatos and anoshim. So he said, the Rambam says, you have to say vidui. Nothing is machapa without vidui. So that, in that context, the Rambam said, the same Yom Kippur, bizmanazel, Yom Kippur is machapa without any carbon, only if the person does tshuva. You don't do tshuva, you don't get a kapara. There's such a gemara at the end of Ksubis, the gemara says, the chippa ad masai amai, the concluding posik in Shiras Hazinu. So this pshuto shel mikra, the simple translation of the posik is, there's going to be a Shoah, Moshe Rabbeinu says, perhaps there's going to be a Holocaust, it's going to be unbelievable. And people will ask, amar elohemo, tzucha sayubo, where was God when all of this was happening? That's what everybody said. Where was God when all of this never happened in the history of the world? So many people. I was born in the middle of the Second World War. I remember when I was a little boy, they said that the Nazis killed 9 million Jews. They killed 6 million Jews that they kept records. They killed so many other Jews without any records. More than 6 million Jews were killed. So everybody was asking, El Haman, where was God when all this was happening? So then Moshe Rabbeinu says at the end of the Shiras Hazinu, after the Shoah will be over, B'chiper Ad Mosai, Amai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his land and he will appease his nation. That Eretz Yisrael started to flourish. They had Hakamas HaMedina a couple of years after the Shoah was over. The Chippah, Rashi says, means Ritza, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his land and he will appease his nation. Those Jewish people who survived, they thrived and they had children and made parnasa and they became rich. Before the war, no one was so rich. Now the Jews are doing very well. So that's the Pashup Shad. The Chippah Masa Amma means after the Shoah will be over, God will appease his land and he will appease his nation. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. And Pasuk, the Chippah Ad Masa Yamai, that if a Jew lives in Eretz Yisrael, he gets a Mechilas Avonos. One who walks Dala Amas in Eretz Yisrael gets a Mechilas Avonos. That's the Gemara in the end of Ksubis. The Gemara talks there about all the different milos of Eretz Yisrael. So the Pnei Yeshua has a comment that came up. What do you mean? An Apikoros walks in Eretz Yisrael, gets Mechilas Avinus. It means if he does tshuva, there's never any Mechilas Avinus without tshuva. You get Mises Bezdin, you need tshuva. Yom Kippur is on the Mechapu with tshuva. Karbonis, Malkus, everything, you need tshuva. So it means if they do tshuva, before the war, the Mincha Soluza, the Minkacher Rebbe, was the main anti-Zionist by the Hungarian Rabbanim. He used to curse so much that all the Rabbanim were afraid to argue with him. He would curse everybody from the pulpit in public. So he terrified everybody with his anti-Zionistic position. So he writes in his Sefer, what do the secular Zionists think, that they're going to go there and get a Mechilas Avinus? No! My ancestor, the Pnei Yeshua, writes in his Sefer on the end of Ksuvis that you only get a Mechilas Avodas if you do tshuva when you're in Eretz Yisrael. You don't do tshuva, you don't get a Mechilas Avodas. A double portion like that. So it means a chos and kala who get married, it's man ha-mesuga l'tshuva. If they do tshuva, then when they get married, they'll get a Mechilas Avodas. Why should that be so? Why should getting married be Mechilas Avodas? So if you look on the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, the Rambam says the idea of a mechila, when a person does tshuva, the main thing is he says, Ani ish acher. I'm a changed person. I'm not the same person that I was before. Before I was sloppy and I wasn't careful and I would violate an avera here and avera there. Now I'm in control of myself. Ani ish acher. So when a couple gets married, if that's what they have in mind, Ani ish acher, he's going to care for his wife. The wife is going to care for him. A lot of the modern couples have the shtick. The wife doesn't take on the husband's name. She retains her maiden name. That's not the Jewish way. In the davening we say, Shimcha Gorel HaKadosh Aleinu Karasa. The relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people is described in Tanakh, the whole Sefer Shir HaShirim. It's described like a marriage between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maamin Hasina was the chuppah. There was a marriage between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Israel. So Shimcha Gorel HaKadosh Aleinu Karasa, we are called Am Hashem. We took the Ribbono Shel'Olam's name as our last name. And he took, in some countries, the husband takes on the wife's family name. I think a Napoleonic law is like that. One of my sons got married in Montreal, so it's still under Napoleonic law, so he's supposed to take on his wife's family name. So that's what we say, Ushmeinu Karasa Vishmecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took our name and he used it as his last name. He's called Elokei Yisrael. We are called Am Hashem. When a couple gets married, they're supposed to blend in together. It's supposed to be ishtik gufa, not that the wife retains her maiden name and the husband retains his name. and each one leads his own life. No, there's supposed to be ani isha acher. So that's the whole idea. Why when one gets married, it's his mana mesugal to do tshuva, because he can, if the couple change their attitude, he can truly say ani isha acher. We have minhagim based on this. It wasn't all over Europe. My father said he remembered going to weddings. My father lived in the Vizhnitsa area in Bukovina in Romania. He said a lot of weddings, the chassan didn't wear a kittel. Now it became more popular. So the idea of wearing a kittel is representative of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you wear a kittel, you get a mechilas avinas. Like the Kohen Gadol wears the big day lovan. And then the minig is that the chassan kala fast the day that they married, so there are different explanations given why they fast. And one of the explanations is, it's like Yom Kippur, you get a mechilas avinas. It's interesting. At the beginning of the Reform movement, middle of the 1800s, so first they did away with little slight menhagim. They were picking on menhagim. Now they'll perform intermarriages. Now they'll do anything. Everything is okay. But at the beginning, they just were unhappy with certain menhagim. So they did away with kol nidre. What's bothering them, kol nidre? They said it's a chil Hashem. People would say that the Jewish businessmen are crooked, and even though they promised to deliver something, they don't keep their promise because they said kol nidre. Not that the dharm should be binding. So they're all crooked in business. So the Reform said that's a chil Hashem. So they did away with kol nidre. So the Maram Shik was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. During the lifetime of the Chassam Sofer, the Reform just began. After he passed away, it became the war, the battle between the Reform and the Orthodox got stronger. So the Maram Shik and the Chassam Sofer, the son of the Chassam Sofer, they were leading the battle at that time. So the Maram Shik has a tshuva. He's more intent on fighting the Kol Nidre battle than on intermarriage. He said, the intermarriage shtick, that's not going to last too long. The Jews will realize they shouldn't intermarry. He guessed wrong. More than half the Jews in America are intermarried. Everybody's intermarrying now. He said, the intermarriage is not going to fight. That's going to fall apart by itself. But the Kol Nidre, that they're going to get away with. You have to do away with that. So then he has another tshuva where he writes, they did away with the meaning of wearing a kittel. He said, it's an embarrassment. These funny, silly menhagim, what do we need them for? We can do away with the menhagim. So he writes a Maisa Shehoya that one of the governors in Hungary of a certain area wanted to attend the Jewish wedding. He wanted to know, V'mestis, what is it all about? So he attended a wedding and he sat next to the rabbi. I don't think it was the Maram Shik. He says it was a different rabbi. Maram Shik writes it up in his Tshuvas. He says, and he wanted the rabbi to explain step by step everything, what's going on. So the rabbi explains why the chosin is wearing a kittel, because it's a serious day. You get a mechilas avinas. So the goyish governor said, what a beautiful minig. What a beautiful minig. We don't realize how beautiful our minhagim are. We have beautiful dinim and beautiful minhag. We don't even realize how beautiful it is. I remember around 20 years ago, my wife showed me on the internet, there was an Arab businessman who lives in America, and he had business associates who were Jews, and he knew that September time is the high holidays, and there's a Day of Atonement, but he never knew what it was. After many years, he asked one of his Jewish business associates, what do you do on the Day of Atonement? So we said, we go to shul, and we say vidui, we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we sin, we made mistakes, we bang our heart and we promise HaKadosh Baruch Hu we're going to try not to repeat the Averis. So the Arab said, what a beautiful practice. He said, we never admit that we made a mistake. That's not like a man, that's Shvachkeit, to admit that you made a mistake. We'll make mistake, we'll keep on making mistake, cover up, and then you have to cover up on other things, and the mistakes lead to more mistakes. We'll never admit. What a beautiful practice to admit you made a mistake and start all over again. So many beautiful things. I remember Rav Soloveitchik mentioned there was one of the German philosophers in recent years, in the early 1900s, was so taken by the Nusach HaTfilah Malchus Reiner Schäufer's. He has a whole book in philosophy, on philosophy in German, and he has the Nusach of Malchus Reiner Schäufer in his book. How beautiful it is. We don't even look at the translation. We don't know what we're saying when we say Malchus Reiner Schäufer's. We have such beautiful mitzvahs and beautiful minhagim. Everything is holy sources. So that's These beautiful menhagim, some of the beautiful menhagim by the wedding, are based on this pasuk in Chumash, that if the chos and kala make up their minds, ani ish acher, we're going to care for each other. It's going to be ezek and egdoi, like the Rabbanu Shalom says in Parashat Bereishis, it's going to make a shidduch, it's going to be ezek and egdoi. So then it's a time for Mechilas Avinus. If they'll do tshuva, it'll be a time for Mechilas Avinus. A good Neshabbos, everybody. Thank you.